our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
It's 80% owned by taxpayers.
Mr. Brown, in position of sentence, is suspended. You are going to be placed on
that
formal...
That particular incident is obviously outrageous. I don't think...
Donald Trump, I want to talk to this guy.
I am gay.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. People say, well, that's your interpretation of the truth, right, Phil? I suppose. I mean, but if it's all opinion anyway, I mean, that's what everybody else is doing. Only they're giving their opinion, their contrived conservative or liberal opinion, you know, their libertarian opinion, or their independent opinion, you know. All of that is made up. I mean, you realize that, don't you? So what we do on this show is, and I don't indict the... media necessarily. I indict at the end of the day. This is what I've always been about in my broadcast career. I indict us, you and me, for buying into it. So on this show, I try to give us as much of an opportunity as possible to know what the hell is actually happening. And for the first hour, with the exception of the very sad announcement on the passing of Senator Kennedy, we've been dealing with the CIA and the interrogations. And Khalid Sheikh's this, and the Al-Qaeda that, and the... And yes, I know how to pronounce Al-Qaeda, bud, okay?
Yeah, you don't say Al-Qaeda.
You know, we call Al-Qaeda the Al-Qaeda.
I understand what it's called, and I'm just fooling around, okay? So just, you know, give me a break.
Oh, I get it. You're only kidding.
Yes, I'm only kidding. According to Attorney General Eric Holder, you can get away with anything if you just say, I'm only kidding. So if, in other words, you went up to a Al-Qaeda detainee with a power drill...
Yeah, well, that's Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda, all right? With a power drill, and you said, I'm going to drill a hole in your head just to see if anything's in there, and then you go, oh, I'm only kidding. It's not torture. Anyway, of course, he didn't say that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Bobby Dooley at the bottom of the hour from the Western Estates Homeowners Association on texting while driving. We'll be talking with her a little bit about that. We already asked the question you shouldn't ask, which we're not going to ask it again. It had something to do with Nazis and whether or not the time has come for an American Nazi party to take over, if they got rid of all of their prohibitions against racial elements. In other words, if they were very egalitarian. So we won't even go there. But it seems like we need some kind of a... Don't we need the American people are crying out for a leader, aren't they? They're just crying out for a leader. Well, we thought we got one, but now they're crying out for a different kind of leader, huh? Some are, anyway. All right, so bottom line, here we go. I could get into healthcare, but there's only so much time in the day. There's so many hours in the day, and there's only so much that I can do in 1 hour. So instead of the usual discussions of today's spin on healthcare, we have this CIA interrogation, so-called investigation probe, whatever you want to call it. Now, what is going on? I'll tell you. Again, folks, you're not going to hear this from anybody else because, I hate to say this, they ain't bright enough. As we've often said on the show, it's more likely you're going to be lied to by somebody talking to you on the television or someone talking to you from a radio than by any politician. And if they're not lying to you, they're just giving you the wrong information because they just ain't smart enough to know where to get the real information. Or they're not bright enough to know how to actually look at an issue. Let me tell you what has been behind the interrogation clamor since the beginning, since the very beginning. It has been a political power play by both sides to position themselves in some position of control in this country. In other words, the people that criticized the Bush administration for the interrogation techniques it used against these detainees are not concerned with human rights. They're not concerned with human rights. Understand this. And I have to imagine that right now there's a lot of people who were talking about the Bush administration being criminal and being really concerned with the interrogation techniques of the Bush administration, listening to Phil Hendry right now saying this has nothing to do with morality. It has nothing to do with human rights. This has everything to do with political control of this country. I imagine they are a little bit shocked that I'm actually, you know, that I'm outing them the way that I am. But please understand, you folks, I don't know that a lot of people understand what I'm saying. I don't know that a lot of people who might disagree with your take would understand what it is I'm trying to impart here, that you guys who were screaming about Bush and his interrogation this and his war in Iraq that and his war in Afghanistan that and his whatever the hell else was the clamp, like Daily Kos, for instance, like MoveOn.org, for instance, There is no concern there for the rights of human beings. There is only concern for getting a big piece of the political power. This is a battle for political power in America over the next 100 years. This has nothing to do with America's heart and soul. To wit, whether we are moral when we interrogate Al-Qaeda or not. Nobody at Daily Kos, Move On, or anywhere else for that matter, Democratic Party, you know, Code Pink. Well, maybe Code Pink. Maybe Code Pink. Maybe there's actually one or two women at Code Pink who really feel bad about the possibility of Osama bin Laden getting waterboarded, you know? I mean, they might really honestly feel bad about the guy. Or they may feel really bad that it makes America look bad. I don't think they understand law, international law, or anything, or you know, presidential wartime powers or anything any more than they understand the reasons why we've gone to war in the first place. I don't think they really understand why we got pissed off when 3,000 people got carved up on September the 11th. I don't think they get that.
Well, it's bad, but...
Yeah, you know, you're right. We're kind of going overboard, aren't we?
Oh, my goodness.
It happens every day. Every day, flip on the TV, man, there go the two tallest buildings in the world. Boom! You know, what am I getting so worked up about, huh?
Well, I mean, people die.
You imagine the monumental callousness of anybody that would say, people die. Yeah, I know people die. They die from brain tumors, as is the case of Senator Kennedy. They die from automobile accidents, which are accidents. They die from, well, homicides, murders, one, two, sometimes even 20 or 30 if the wrong guy wanders into a fast food stand. But you got to admit, flying two jets laden with fuel into buildings to the point where the buildings collapse, everybody inside is dead, not to mention the people on the plane. You got to admit, that's one for the books. That's a new height, man, in mass murder. So the country reacted as the country reacted. And immediately, there was outcry. There was worry about whether the war in Afghanistan was really the right way to go. Forget about Iraq, folks. The anti-war sentiment in this country goes all the way back to Afghanistan. Don't tell me that it doesn't, because I was getting hammered with emails from people in the weeks after 9/11. Let's not go to war. Petition President Bush, we don't want to go to war. You know, this is really going to, no, that's not America. You know, this is going to be a war against women. You know, in Afghanistan, a lot of women, they use all that water. And when we bomb all those infrastructural facilities, man, the women aren't going to have water. It's an anti-woman war. I mean, I really actually heard that spin. That was sold for a couple of weeks. The Obama administration has said it's going to launch a criminal probe into the interrogation techniques, if you will, used by the CIA and its contractors in the war on terror. Now, you heard the first clip. I'm going to go through just a couple of more here for you. You heard the first clip, and that was Jamil Yaffer from the ACLU. This next one is also Mr. Yaffer, as he says the ACLU wants high-ranking Bush officials as well to be investigated. The very first clip he said, this is systemic, in his opinion. Now, how does he know this? He doesn't. It's his opinion. When you say, this guy took a power drill and he stuck it up to a guy's head and he said, I'm going to stick a hole right through your skull. How do you feel about that? Not that he did it, because he didn't. When you say that a guy said, I'm going to take your family out and I'm going to machine gun them all out there in a courtyard. Not that he did, but he threatened it. When you say all of those things took place, that's one thing. First of all, you got to prove that all of those things took place. I don't know whether this is all hearsay, whether it is, what do they call it? Circumstantial, whether there's actual verification of this, whether this is a story told by a guy who saw a guy. That's one thing. Then you have to determine, and brother, you better make damn sure that you got the goods to determine this, that a lawyer in the Justice Department of the United States government under George Bush said, even though the law says this, I'm going to write a memo that says it actually says this. So that when you guys are interrogating, you'll feel you're doing something legal because you've got the memo from me saying it's legal and I knew all along it was illegal. Now, that's the case the ACLU, in all of their ignorance, and I'm telling you, folks, this is not my opinion. I had the guy on who ran the thing and he didn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. a lawyer started telling me about values. I said to him, you know, we're not here to talk about values. You're an attorney. I want to get some legal input on this. Well, he didn't have any. Anthony Romero, Yamil Yaffer, all of these guys have a certain mindset. And the mindset is the following. Somebody stinks. Somebody's dirty up the line with the Justice Department. And I got news for you, friend. You better be ready to prove that. You better be ready to show that an attorney working for the Justice Department decided that he would issue a memorandum contrary to law, articulating a legality that didn't exist, so that a nefarious system and program of torturing could be perpetrated by the Bush administration that contravened and in point of fact, outflanked American law. Good luck, man. Good luck. Because nothing against you, Mr. Joffre, and there's nothing against Eric Holder. He's an experienced attorney. There's nothing against the attorneys working in the Justice Department under President Obama. But when you're trying to tell me that it's the opinion of an attorney general working for Barack Obama and an opinion of an attorney general working for George Bush, and this guy here says, well, I think what you did was illegal. Well, you may think what I did was illegal, but let's take a look at the law, my friend. This is how we interpreted that law at the time that we were faced with these problems. And this is exactly what the law says in my view, and this is what we did as the result. Eric Holder cannot prosecute, folks. Understand something. He cannot prosecute anybody from the Bush administration if he says, in my opinion, you misinterpreted that law. Eric Holder has to prove that they circumvented the law knowingly. Because that is criminal. That's criminal. When you say the law is this, we're going to ignore it, and we're going to give the green light to our interrogators and our CIA personnel on the ground to do this, even though this is against the law, you have a criminal act. But you don't have a criminal act when an attorney says the law is this, and therefore, based upon our estimation and our interpretation of this law, these acts are legal. That doesn't even begin to address the question as to whether or not someone holding a power drill to a man's head did so because he was given the green light, or he was encouraged to do so, or he felt that he was empowered to do so by certain memos that were passed to him from the Justice Department. That might have been a guy who was acting alone criminally. The guy that threatened the family with death, that might have been a guy acting alone criminally. The guy mock execution, that might have been an individual acting alone criminally. And all of this discussion and all of this conjecture and all of this, oh, I wish that we investigate the Bush administration and we get all the way to Dick Cheney and we can put him on trial and, you know, and they won't find out what a criminal is. All of this masturbation that has been going on for 9 years on the part of people who have a political problem with George Bush. All of this stuff, ladies and gentlemen, is innuendo, it is rumor, it is inference, and it has never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever been rooted in fact, not even any evidence, quite frankly, that you could bring before a court of law. It has been innuendo, it has been inference, and you see, I bet you this is really opening up the eyes of some people who are always emailing me about how it is I'm such a liberal. Oh, really? Well, here I am. Defending the president, President Bush's administration, his vice president, and his Justice Department in the war on terror and the tactics used by our interrogators, including waterboarding. You know, the worst thing that they can say happened was the waterboarding, and they still haven't proved that that was illegal. They still haven't proven that that was illegal. I know that they have, after the fact, made it illegal, but waterboarding, while it might be effective and it might not be effective and it might be good and it might not be good and it might be this, might be that, waterboarding was within the arsenal of approved methods by the CIA and was being used, and nobody, and I'm telling you right now, nobody has ever claimed that when it was used by the CIA following 9/11, it was illegal. 877-876-PHIL. All right, we got a lot of audio and a lot more of this to go through because, quite frankly, I think it's really important because, quite frankly, you know, there's a whole lot of people that deserve this, man. And when I say a lot of people that deserve it, I mean all of these people that were had blood in their mouth screaming for somebody's neck. Well, guess what? You know, there's an old saying, be careful what you hope for because you just might get it. You're about to get it dropped in your lap, and you're going to find my fine feathered friends. There ain't nothing there, man. Nothing that smells good anyway. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Bobby Dooley. We'll just kind of interrupt a little bit of the CIA discussion for Bobby Dooley and texting while driving at the bottom of the hour here. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 a.m. on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast where the sun came out here at the El Pacifico today, bud, huh?
Oh, man. I went out and I looked at it.
Yeah, I went out there and looked at it, too.
Oh, you guys stepped outside the door for about 5 seconds and looked at the sun, huh?
Yeah.
Well, great. Good. Glad you guys are getting some sunshine.
You're welcome.
In any event, here is Mr. Jamil Jaffer from the ACLU. He wants high-ranking Bush administration officials investigated. He wants them investigated. Well, I don't know that you can conduct this investigation without investigating high-ranking Bush administration officials, but at what point do you say to the guy, are you looking for, are you trying to prove a negative here, man? Are you trying to prove that a crime was committed, even if no crime was committed? How far are we going to go and how much money, to use that word that everybody loves to use, how much money are we going to spend on this?
Well, we would certainly be unhappy with an investigation that that began and ended with the interrogators themselves. That's not to say that interrogators who violated, who exceeded their authority shouldn't be prosecuted for it. But the investigation shouldn't end there. The investigation has to be broad enough to encompass not just the interrogators, but the senior officials who authorized torture and the lawyers who facilitated torture.
All right. So, and again, this guy is making a whole lot of assumptions there, and that's what they do. 877-876-PHIL. Here is David in Glendale, California. David, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi, Phil. First and foremost, I'd like to just point out that your argument was already tried in Nuremberg, and it failed. And forgive me,
wasn't.
I am a little nervous,
no, it wasn't.
So I'm not able to articulate.
Right. Well, I'm very familiar with Nuremberg, sir, so you watch where you step with that one. I've read the transcripts. I know that process. I know that process intimately. It was, by the way,
everything
Nuremberg was a military tribunal. Did you know that?
Everything you said was exactly what they were trying to say, that they had orders
no.
to execute.
Wrong.
Okay.
Wrong.
But the fact, let's
wrong.
Yeah,
apparently you don't listen very well, do you? You don't listen very well. I said, was the law, not that they followed an illegal order, was the law interpreted to the best of the ability of those lawyers in the Bush administration Justice Department? Did they look at this law and say, okay, what these guys are doing is legal, it comports with this law?
No. Actually,
that's a far cry from saying that these men were ordered to commit an illegal act. That's not saying that these guys were ordered to commit an illegal act.
If I may, I'd like to just point out 2 points. The comment made by the ACLU representative is accurate. He is making a very fair statement. There needs to be a thorough investigation. You made
Fine.
The suggestion that there was these arbitrary illegal activity done by individual. Well, if that's
maybe,
case,
maybe.
You know what? There's just too many maybes. How about the prison?
Oh, you know what? You live on maybes, though, man. You love maybes.
No,
you love inference and rumor. That's what your whole thing is. No, sir. I'm looking at law, and you don't know, and you don't want to look at law.
You are interpreting your law by your criminal activity and intent. The Bush administration.
I'm criminal.
Like,
how do you like that?
Thing.
What about your criminal activity? What about your criminal activity libeling and slandering innocent people?
Actually, I'd like to just get 1 point across. And then
what about your criminal mob mentality there, David? Well, you want to cut people's heads off before they're even any crime has been proven.
I don't know where that statement came from, but all I'd like to point out...
That's exactly what the anti-war movement has been about for 8 years, trying to cut people's heads off before they even get due process.
Bill, I'd like to just point out something based upon evidentiary fact. An individual by someone you know, Vincent Bugliosi, wrote a book The problem
I read it, and I talked to I've talked to Vincent three times on
and
this show.
Do you feel that he's fabricated all the evidence in his book?
No. What Vincent has done is he is making some assumptions based upon, first of all, number one, what he would have done were he president. So he doesn't even understand. Vincent's a great guy, and I give him all credit for what he did against Manson, but he doesn't even understand what a commander-in-chief's job is.
Intellectually dishonest person on the radio.
No, I'm very honest. You're intellectually dishonest because you didn't even listen to what I said. You just jumped on the show with your little agenda. You don't know what the law is. You have no idea what the law is, and that's been the problem with you people. You've never read the law. You don't know what's in the law. You just think the law says something. You have no idea. Thank you very much, David. You're a sweetheart. I love you. We'll be back. Bobby Dooley next.
Henry.
Love you.
Bill Henry Show.
877-876-Phil. World famous Phil Henry Show. More to say on the Obama administration's investigation into the interrogation tactics and interrogation techniques of the CIA and their contractors and others on the program. And we also have a little bit more audio to play for you. We got some statements made by others. One of them was on Katie Couric's show this morning. I don't know who the hell the guy was, but it all comes down to the same thing, which is we want the investigation to go forward. We want to go as high up the chain of command as we possibly can, and we just hope that there are criminal activities uncovered so we can indict Dick Cheney and George. This is the big play. This is the moment that many of those people wanted to have happen, and many of us, myself, I put right at the top of the list, many of us realized that when this moment did arrive, they'd be left with nothing. They'd be left with a paper bag full of air. It's scary, and it confuses people, and they're not quite sure why this happened and why that happened. And, of course, they didn't want to go to war in Iraq because that was whatever it was they thought it was. And they didn't want to do this, they didn't want to do that, and they wanted to moveon.org, and Clinton got, you know, impeached, and so let's make life rough for George Bush. All these little political considerations are fine and dandy and are just marvy, but they got little to do with what's actually happening, which what we call, what scientists have determined to be called truth. 877-876-PHIL, it's go over to Tom in Louisville, Kentucky. Tom, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on tonight, Tom?
Good evening. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
To give you real quick on my background, I'm a retired real military, 23 years, and I was a scout. I also worked military intelligence. I was trained in interrogation, both how to take, you know, resist against it during SEER training and how to interrogate somebody. Waterboarding was mainly just to mess with a guy's mind, because none of those people that were waterboarded were physically harmed. Unlike our POWs, we get them back in two body bags, one with their head and one with their body. Now, I did a technique in school for several years, and then they stopped it. And all it was we would play with a guy's head. We'd have a prisoner with about 20 other prisoners.
Playing with a guy, you're talking about playing with a guy's head while it's still on his shoulders. You talked about two body bags. Yeah, okay.
I was an instructor in SEER training, survival, escape, resistance, and evasion. And
right.
I would take the strongest guy from a pack of people, from a pack of prisoners, blindfold them, and then I make them dig a hole and tell them it's going to be his grave. And after that digging, we buried him up to his neck and asked him, is he going to tell us what we want to know? He'd say, no, I'm not talking. So I would pull down my pants, pull out my member, walk behind him, and pour canteen water on his head. Obviously,
He thought you were urinating on him, yeah.
Correct. I poured
until he realized it smelled like arrowhead.
Get him or the 40 other people that were prisoners there. I couldn't get them to shut up for hours. The main thing with interrogation is you can play with their heads and you get them what you need for information. Can you
hear me? Yeah, I can hear you. What we have now here, Tom, is a discussion afoot as to what violates American law and international law when it comes to this definition of torture or harsh interrogation. Is it legal or is it not? And being a member of the armed forces, you know that there are illegal acts that you may not commit, even if you were directed to do so by a superior. So,
correct.
What were our interrogators told? Were they going according to what they were told? Was what they were told legal? Was what they were told legal in the minds of the people that issued the memo, or were these people being purposefully misled into illegal activities by superiors or lawyers in the Justice Department? That's the big question, and that is one that this guy here, Phil Hendry, feels is going to answer, is going to be answered to the benefit of the Bush administration attorneys. It may not make a lot of people happy. They may want to just hope and pray and wish and just, you know, bow to Allah five times a day saying, no, they really knew that they were issuing illegal memos and that you can't just do it. Don't they understand? And there's going to, oh boy, wait till you see the hogwash coming out now. If you think the horse dung has flowed like a river before this, you ain't seen nothing yet. There's going to be blogs. There's going to be articles. There'll be interpretations of interpretations. There'll be op-ed pieces. I knew a guy who I knew a guy and another guy that I knew. And this happened and that happened. And I know a guy in the Justice Department who said this, that, and something else. And this is going to be a bombshell. 3 days later, it ain't a bombshell. It's a wet fart. And on and on. You know how this went. You know how it went during the war in Iraq. You know how all of these, you know how Haditha went. You know how Abu Ghraib went. Those five guys, five people prosecuted, and the worst crime that they were convicted of was threatening a guy with a dog. Abu Ghraib, where there was supposed to have been murder. Abu Ghraib, where there was supposed to have been rape. People to this very day claim there was murder and rape and every abomination known to man committed at Abu Ghraib prison camp, a prison in Baghdad, and these claims have been given the legitimacy of truth because they have been repeated so often. Never mind that they impugn the military and people in the military who never committed a crime in their lives. Never mind that it impugns the entire United States Armed Forces. Never mind that even if you hate George Bush, it's a slander to accuse somebody of having ordered something when they didn't. Never mind that they want to prosecute officers higher up than the ones that they were able to convict around the Abu Ghraib abuses, which is about the worst word you can put on it. Well, go ahead and prosecute. Let me tell you something. It's not a tough thing to pull in a captain or even a major and prosecute his ass. Doesn't mean you're pulling in a general. Doesn't mean you're pulling in a defense secretary. Doesn't mean you're pulling in a president. But if all you got is a staff sergeant and some PFCs or what specialists or whatever, or maybe you got a lieutenant someplace, you can pull in a major, you can pull in a captain, you can go all the way up the rank to a colonel and even a general if you want to, if you got the evidence and if it's there. How many depositions did they take? How many witnesses did they interview? How many officers in charge of the prison itself did they take depositions from and that they interviewed? Maybe they should have waterboarded some of those guys. That might have made the ladies at Code Pink happy. It might have made some of our friends there in the Eric Holder Justice Department or maybe in the ACLU happier than pigs in slop if they would drop some waterboarding on some of those cats at Abu Ghraib if they were able to bag a general or two, but they weren't able to bag any of those guys. Why is that? Somebody covering something up? People are lying? Is that it? Let me tell you what. At the end of the day, folks, either you got it or you don't. Either you have the evidence of a conspiracy to commit some widespread kind of abuse of law, of federal law, of international law, a knowing violation of these laws to effect some end, no matter what the means, even if it means breaking the law. Either you have that or you don't. Either you have evidence of that or you don't. Now, this is the United States of America. This country has been the single greatest at prosecuting criminality in the history of the world because our laws are fair and we don't really expect all that much from our people compared to other countries. And when they do violate the law, more than any other country in the history of the world, we have gone after people and prosecuted them for this. And it goes back as far as America has been at war. We had violations of international law committed by American soldiers in World War II. We had violations of the same in Korea and Vietnam. You know Vietnam, the My Lai massacre. We had a press corps in this country whose appetite was whetted for war crimes following My Lai. and fought in the Vietnam War and the CIA assassinations program. We had a press corps in this country that was absolutely voracious, hungry for more of that kind of explosive event. And when the Iraq War broke out, man, those guys, they were flying to Iraq on shuttles. I mean, they were going over there, they got themselves like a party bus, you know, and they spread out across the land. They were embedded. They were unembedded. They were there in the hotels in Baghdad. They were sneaking around behind enemy lines. We had Sean Penn rolling around in a Jeep someplace out in the desert. We had guys we had Italian journalists and English journalists and German journalists. Everybody looking for the same thing, the big bad American soldier committing a war crime. We had an American soldier who shot and killed an enemy soldier who was laying on the ground moving. So we went ahead and finished the guy off. This was put on film by an Italian journalist, and the Italian journalist took this back to his editors in Italy, and it went worldwide, and they said, this is evidence of a war crime. This is an American soldier murdering an injured man without any knowledge of what the rules of engagement are, what a soldier, any soldier of any army is expected to do when confronted with a situation like that, with other soldiers, with an individual who he has just been in mortal combat with, that he's dropped to the ground with some kind of a shot that has incapacitated him. He doesn't know whether he's dead or not. He's still got a weapon by his side. He walks up and he kills the guy. This was supposedly a war crime. And you know the time we wasted? I mean the wasted time of having to explain to mental midgets what these men are called upon to do with a judgment that must be exercised in seconds, not even seconds, halves of seconds. And we've got to explain this to these cretins who expect no less than the judgment of Solomon in every single situation. Now we have an administration that is worried sick about whether or not the American people are going to be subjected to another murderous attack. We already saw one. You want to know why nobody wants to talk about 9/11? I'll tell you why. Because it brings back the memory of what happened. And when you remember what happened, you remember what this country was feeling in those days following 9/11. And you remember what we feared. And even these simple-minded bastards like Friedman over there at the New York Times, who all he could talk about was going to madrasa schools and trying to keep these terrorists out of our country and what we can do to kill more of these bastard al-Qaeda, this jackball who went on to say that George Bush told everybody to go shopping. You know, back in the months following 9/11, Friedman, you were one big, I tell you, you were a flag-waving warmonger, man, but all of a sudden you got some kind of religion. What happened? Phony baloney. Real phony baloney, man. I mean, seriously, I don't know what they're paying you at the Times, man. But that kind of phony jive, you know, I can read that anywhere. New York Times, my ass. Now you got lawyers sitting in the Justice Department and say, well, we got to interrogate these guys. What is legal? Why else would they be asking for a legal opinion? Why else would they be drawing up legal opinions on these things? Why didn't George Bush just tell his CIA interrogators, go on, have at it, boys, have yourself a ball. Go on out there and get the information. American lives are at risk. We happen to know that all of this stuff was vetted one way or the other through the Justice Department. And the Congress of the United States had to be kept in the loop. And we got Nancy Pelosi telling everybody, no, I wasn't. Well, maybe, yes, I was. Well, it was the wrong staff member. It was the wrong day. And then we have people saying that it was a program. No, it wasn't. Well, you're only supposed to report it if it is a program. It never got off the ground. I mean, every kind of nitpicky little critique, and we forget what it is that we're here to do. You know, in the days and the months and the years following this horror, and that is to go and find the bastards that did that and to kill every last one of them. Capture those that we can, but more to the point, just kill them. Kill them and put them out of business and get a little bit of justice for those people and protect this country a little bit. But we've been engaged for 8 years in an asinine conversation about, have we gone too far? Did we go a little bit? What did we do? And then just to kind of cover their asses, people say, well, this is about values, American values. No, it's not. It's about your gutless. And it just so happens that the political power in place is acting in a very direct and aggressive manner, and you wish it was you, and it isn't you, so you've got to get yourself a little piece of sunshine, man. So what better way to do it than to start jaw-jacking and hammering at the guy for doing his job while you sit there with your thumb in your ass? And all you can talk about is what laws did we break, what kinds of horrible things did America do, what is America coming to? I'll tell you what we're coming to. We become a country that considers it almost immoral to defend itself. We got to vet everything first. We got to get a little religion before we go out and we actually get some payback for some of the stuff that's done to us. We got to go and ask the Pope, maybe. We got to clear it through the head imam over there in Iran. We got to make sure that, you know, every single solitary little spineless bastard in this country is on board. We got to make sure that those that didn't have the opportunity to be in the White House when this abomination took place, we got to make sure that they get a little piece of the action and that we make them happy and we make sure it's all vetted properly and make sure that everything is done according to the rules as some people see them on any given day, depending upon how they're feeling politically. All right, we have pushed Ms. Dooley to the next segment. We will have Bobby Dooley next. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Bob, yes, 877-876-PHIL. Is that it?
Yeah, that's always what it is. What are you trying to do anyway?
I'm just checking, okay? 877-876-PHIL. Bobby Dooley next here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association joins us. Ms. Dooley, I thank you very much for allowing us to maybe push your segment a few seconds here as we were talking about the ongoing criminal probe by Attorney General Eric Holder into the CIA investigation situation. So we thank you for that.
Well, so we're very happy to be able to do that. I know it's very important work, and we know that President Obama wants to do his very best. We're hoping that... that investigation certainly is successful. I have been a member of Angels on Our Shoulders, Phil.
Now, that's an anti-war group.
Well, it is an anti-war group, but it is an anti-war group that broke from our main group, which was Angels on Their Shoulders, which was a group that was auxiliary to Code Pink, because we felt we had a personality clash with Margaret Gray, who I know you know, and I decided to break away from Angels on Their Shoulders and form Angels on Our Shoulders.
All right, well, that personality clash we could get into, but you're here to talk about teens texting.
We are, Phil. My husband, Steve, and I are very mindful of really how dangerous texting can be for young people, and we are also very mindful of our young people being in that part of their life where their relationship, the new relationships and the friendships they form can become the foundation for lifelong relationships. And young people are, I suppose by definition, they're very sensitive people. So we're trying to find a balance. And Steve, I know, feels that way.
Well, the balance is important, Henry.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so to that end, we have introduced Glance Up, which is a program that we are taking into Western Estates High School and other schools that are interested that will begin this fall.
Now, what is Glance Up?
Well, Glance Up is simply a reminder that while you're texting, you need to glance up and see the traffic coming towards you. Glance down to complete the text, but glance up. And as you glance up, you can see what's happening in front of you while you're texting. We feel this is the best way to deal with this.
But that's not anything that encourages children to not to text. They're still texting.
That is correct.
Why?
The reason, Phil, is because young people, if they are distracted from the texting, the text itself becomes garbled. It is misspelled. The punctuation is wrong. And the message comes across as... not understandable.
Yeah, they can't understand with a kid.
Hold on, Steve. I'll do it. My husband just said that the other kids can't understand them.
Yeah, but if we're talking about safety, driving safety, and young people being safe out there as they drive, who cares whether the message is understandable?
Well, here again, we get into the relationships that our young people have formed. I can use a term that young people are using today. I don't approve of it. But it gives you an idea of just how deep this runs. When a young person is not texting properly and they are spending too much time looking at the road, which they should do, but if the text comes across garbled, it's what our young people call mongo speak, or they come across as communicating in mongo speak, I think is how they've said that.
Yeah, mongo speak is what it is.
Is what it is.
What is mongo speak?
It is a very crude thing that our young people have taken to saying, and I don't approve of it, but it basically says the kids are texting as if they have some form of a mongo gloid.
Yeah, the mongo, the down.
Are you talking about Down syndrome?
Yes.
Boy, that's callous.
It's very callous. But that's how important texting is to our young people. So glance up is trying to split the difference. We're trying to walk in both worlds. Yes, text, so you don't come across as the kids would say, as if you have a gloid gene. But you glance up.
Well, I don't know how well that's going to go, and we've run out of time.
Well, can I give out our website?
We'll give the website out later. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association on texting. Maybe we'll try to get them back on later in the program here. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.